Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to Big Think Dimension with KZ Excellent.
I think video game good.
Dan and Bob Video Game.
You see that mountain? You could self-isolate on that mountain, Bob.
Oh, thank God.
And Mr. Feel.
Everything's fake, folks. Money, fake. Law, fake. Prison, fake. Biz debt, fake. Everything's fake.
Here on Gigaboots.
So I've been feeling out the Wendy's breakfast menu.
Hey, you're back.
Been trying to figure it out. Yeah, I'm back, and I'm actually surprisingly human feeling again. It's pretty cool. I don't feel like going to sleep at 5 p.m.
Not by the end of this.
It's pretty nice not being sick. But yeah, I've been checking out the Wendy's menu, just doing the breakfast thing, trying to figure out like if I like it. I think the weirdest thing about all their sandwiches is that weird, like, I can't even remember what they call it, but it's like a Swiss cheese sauce.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good, but it's also really fucking weird because they don't apply it evenly.
No.
So you'll eat 70% of the sandwich and the last bit's just like gooey cheese bullshit. And it'll just be like, oh, this is good, but like, I would have liked it sooner, in moderation, maybe.
Chewy.
I was like, okay, that's enough of Wendy's. We're going to go back to the staple Taco Bell breakfast menu. I go there. They're like, hey, we have new stupid bullshit for breakfast. And I'm like, cool. And then I ordered it. And I was like, oh, this isn't cool at all. This is just a bad burrito. Why have you done this?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they just took their acceptable burrito they were already doing and then stuffed it full of bullshit. And they were like, here. It's nice. And since you can't go in the Taco Bell, you can only do the drive-thru, and the breakfast menu and the drive-thru doesn't show every item. I didn't remember the name of the burrito that was actually good, so I ordered that thing twice and hated myself. The moral of the story is the pandemic has very real cost. Feel, I'm tired of talking about terrible, disappointing food. How was that Pizza Hut pizza?
So I got the Big Dipper pizza.
Yep.
And it's not, the pizza itself isn't disappointing. It's just the breadsticks with cheese and pepperoni on it. So that can't be, that has like a high bottom floor.
Yeah.
But the sauce choices are baffling.
What?
Like, I expected them there to be some kind of like garlic cream sauce because they have like a white sauce.
Okay.
Oh. Do they have ranch but not ranch dressing?
They have ranch. Ranch is one of the ones you get. You get ranch, honey barbecue, and two marinara.
Wait. Ooh. Of course they aren't going to bring back their sweet sriracha.
No, it's too good to live.
Yeah, I expected something like that. I expected maybe like a garlic butter or their white sauce. You can get the white sauce.
So,
unless
I have an incredibly pressing question. Did they arrange three tiny pepperonis on each and every slice like they did in this and every other picture of this fucking pizza?
Oh, yeah, that's the picture I used last week.
You know what? Let me go look at it right now.
This is important shit. I need to know because that's a bit too high effort for a Pizza Hut employee. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, no, I was like, that looks like a nightmare.
I have good friends that are Pizza Hut employees.
I used to be a Pizza Hut employee. Look, I'm just saying. I would not have expected the people I worked with to count out three pepperonis per fucking slice of bread. Speaking of which, that's
so
fucking... Yeah, what's up?
On one half, yes. On the other half, no, but their giving up led to more pepperonis, so it's fine.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I'm all for that. 100%, man.
I would imagine it's like we give up and they throw it.
Yeah.
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 That's what it looks like. It's like a sheet.
Well, now that we got this food talk out of the way, it's finally time to do our deep dive into the PS5 specs.
Oh, thank God. I was worried we had some other part of this podcast.
Nope. We'll cover the Podlords after this. And we'll just end the whole podcast. Shit's a glorified The Rant Is Go turned into a fucking podcast. You know what? Let's talk about what games we've been playing. I've been playing Doom 2016.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
That game's good.
It is.
I go to hell.
Finished up a couple of weeks ago.
The moment I show up in hell, they're like, there was this once upon a time, there was a big dick motherfucker. His name was Doom Slayer. That's you, clearly. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm cool. I take one step outside and get wrecked 8 times in a row. They did that on purpose.
That was me, because I went, you know, the director of Eternal keeps saying that the only way he can play is Nightmare. So clearly I should do Ultraviolence so I can do that for Eternal. And I just got my ass rocked the entire time. Every time you keep looking up at the top right corner of your, like, weapon mod thing, it's like, all right, it turned to orange. We're done. It's all right. We can cool off now. The fight
ended. We're fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's going to be okay. Also, the game crashed like 10 or 12 times in my last hour and a half of playing. Because every time I die and it tries to load, sometimes the PS4 just crashes it. At least three of my deaths on the final boss, I had to just reload the whole game again and then select the campaign because it's all in that fucking weird menu. And
yeah. Man, that's rough.
Great game, though.
Oh, yeah. Incredible game. Incredible game. Sorry to hear about that glitch.
Very weird.
I also finished platinuming Kingdom Hearts 3.
Look at you!
That freed up oranges. 50 gigs of space. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, I was even more excited to hear about the PS5's insanely fast solid state drive after I spent a whole day loading!
Yeah. Gotta get those oranges.
Gotta go visit every flan. Gotta get those fruits from every flan. Then gotta go to the various battle gates on every world. Then you gotta go cook.
Mm-hmm.
I lost hours to load screens. That's the point it was at. Very.
You have a base, right? You have like a base PS4?
Yes, I have a PS4 Blanco.
Ooh.
As they call it.
I prefer to call it PS4 Calvo.
PS5 is called PlayStation Forma de Perfección.
Yeah!
The El Hermano of PlayStation consoles.
Given the size of the Xbox Series X, I'm pretty sure we need to call that El Hermano.
No, that's just called Xbox Ultimate.
Oh my god.
If someone wants to make El Hermano's head a Series X, please on Twitter.
Please.
Glad to have Platinum Kingdom Hearts 3 and get that off my hard drive. I'm now working on Death Stranding. I've done 3 casual little streams where I just talk about whatever while playing Death Stranding. And people have been telling me, hey, you should just save scum. Like one or two people were like, you should save scum and just return lost cargo. It buffs your stars really fast. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to enjoy the game, you know. Play it normally.
Yeah.
I returned a piece of lost cargo and got 3 stars from a place. And I'm like, what the fuck? Excuse me?
That is insane, yeah.
I can do a premium delivery in 4 minutes and get like a fifth of a star maybe. But if I return, and I'm not exaggerating, you can go watch the stream. I am not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. I can walk across a single land bridge, pick up a box and bring it indoors and get 3 stars. Go fuck yourself. You fucking balanced this game wrong.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. But yeah, that game's still really enjoyable. It's a great stream game because I get to talk to the audience about stuff. For example, talking about the PS5 and the Xbox Series X with that new info this week.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun. Still have a lot more to do. There's a lot of people up in the mountains that aren't 5 stars yet. The film director's a fucking asshole and he's not 5 stars yet either. So I've got a little bit more of that to do. Looking forward to it. But that's about all I played over the last week. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
What did you play?
I played Nioh 2 and then some cool demos. I'll talk about the demos first.
Okay.
I played Resident Evil 3. Did anybody else?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, now, I did a couple of runs of the demo.
I only ran it once. That new Dodge Planet X, pretty crazy.
Yes.
It took a good while getting used to. I didn't even find out that you can aim your gun and apparently go slow motion mode. I didn't do that while my play. I saw people on Twitter doing it later.
Oh. Hmm.
So that's neat. it seems like you have a ton of ammo, but then the zombies are still, like, super tough. Like, there's still no way you could kill all of them.
Yeah, they just don't. They just wouldn't go down.
Yeah, there's just a ton of them, too. Like, this is a much more open area than I expected, which I guess I should have expected it because they said it was going to be more open, but still.
It feels like the perfect, like, companion to 2, where they both look and play really, really well. But then this one's just, you're going into so many different shops and crossing over into alleyways, and it's definitely more action-focused. I don't know if you found the, like, the safe combination to, like, get the extra sight on the handgun, because that was also a thing in there.
I did not find that. I've seen the safe combination, but I don't know where the safe is. I found where the shotgun was, and then I found the fires later. I didn't go back.
I ended up finding the bolt cutters first, and then I saw the safe combo, which is in a completely different shop from where the safe is. Which I thought that was interesting. Where they want you to keep in mind, like make sure you remember what the code is, then go all the way over here to pick it up. It's like a handgun, like laser sight thing.
Yeah,
too, like,
that checks out. I mean, that's crucial. The same sort of thing as they pulled into 2 a lot. So wait, does it actually give you like a laser pointer or something for your handgun?
It puts it on top and then adds the red dot.
That's good, because I felt like sometimes the gun was not that accurate.
It's called a laser sight.
It was shaking a little bit too much for me.
I have to wonder if there will be a more intense upgrade system for Jill herself, or even for the guns, or if it's going to just be adapters like that, like there were in 2. Which would be fine. I think the Iser way works.
Yeah. I feel like if the type of game this is, they might try to expand on that a little bit. Because they definitely want you to fight a bit more in this.
You don't get the option of using your sub-weapon, like using up your knife to get a zombie off you. At least not that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the grenades.
Yeah, because I had the knife, but they didn't give it the option. It was just mash the button so they don't own you more.
I didn't notice. Was the knife durable? Did it have durability?
I didn't use the knife at all, though I can't tell if it's my memory of playing RE2 way too much, whether or not it had the meter on the screen or not.
Yeah, I can't remember. I need to play this demo a little more. I probably won't, though. I probably will just be like, whatever, wait till the game comes out.
Yeah, I might wait. One, that I can't believe this game fucking exists so close to Resident Evil 2, because it's like, it's a bigger Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Looks gorgeous. I like one of the quality of life things is if you pick something up for the first time, it'll show you what it is, and then every other time it just puts it in. So you pick up one herb, and it's like, you got an herb! And then the rest, they just put a little square on the screen and then shoot it in, so you can keep running and scavenging and stuff.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense for this bigger style game.
Yeah, it felt a lot faster with that. It's really satisfying to use the traps, like the electrical box or the red barrels, to just destroy like the enemies. It's really satisfying. Nemesis is gonna be a problem. It's gonna be a big. I died 4 or 5 times.
I only died
shows up. He taps the zombie, turns it into what seems to be a vagina monster.
What?
Its head just turns into this weird fleshy tube, and if it grabs you, it starts sucking you in, and its head starts glowing red. And I'm like, what is this Gucci zombie?
He couldn't fucking do that.
Yeah, his introduction is he shoots tentacles into it, and they just start... I thought it was... It almost felt like it was turning into, like, a Las Plagas or some shit. But almost immediately, he just started running at me, and... He has a lot of really good options. You turn around, he's already pulling you. That jump. He'll just jump in front of you. It's a problem. Him with any other enemy is a problem.
I'm surprised you have, like, in my game, I literally, I shoot a grenade at him. I ran. He did not catch up to me.
Yes, I've on my second run, I'm like, I wonder how the grenade does. So I lobbed it in front of me because I'm like, this motherfucker's going to jump. And he totally did. He was right on me. And he's like, okay, I'm going to sit down now. But I did try to mess around to see, like, does he drop anything if you beat him up? Doesn't seem to.
I assume you need to beat him up a certain amount. Like, so much damage into him, you can't even do it in this demo. Because apparently you can't get cool items from killing him. Jesus.
Yeah, like I put him on his to one knee twice, and that second time he kind of stayed there for maybe 15 seconds, at least.
Now, if this were like Resident Evil 5, you could do a two-player combo attack against him, and it'd be really cool.
Yeah, the main way you're supposed to deal damage. Get fucked if you're playing that game by yourself.
That was short demo, too. Like, I was sad when it ended. I was like, damn.
They let you explore a decent chunk of area, at least, so I'm fairly happy with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it had everything I wanted to get out of a Resident Evil thing, so it's like I picked up some weapons, I picked some locks, and took out some zombies. I got trapped in an alley when two zombies came in after me, and I didn't notice them.
I guess that's probably all we need to talk about the Resident Evil demo.
What other demo did you play?
I played a little bit of the Trials of Mana one. It sounds like Beal played more.
I finished.
I finished it, yeah.
After about a third, I got a third of the way through, maybe, while listening to the story, and then I went, I might want to get this, so I just skipped every cutscene, just so it wouldn't feel boring when I go through it again.
Right.
Well, you could continue from the demo.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
But what if I might do videos on it, because I do RPGs.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I really don't like that it has you pick everyone up front. Like, I wanted to have a little bit more introduction to them than... Here's a screen of text. Figure out your entire team right now.
I mean, that's what I disliked about the game the first time I tried it back in the day. I thought that was really weird. Whereas Secret of Mana, you know, the previous game in the series, let you meet those characters in the story and unlock them.
Now, this is in the original Trials of Mana, like the SNES one. But when you run into the characters that are a part of your team, they give you the option to experience their prologue story. And if you say no, they give you like a black and white Cliff Notes video version of it.
Huh.
If you didn't want to do, which I tried that to see what it did. And it gives you a primer of who they are without having to like really get into it, which I appreciated that.
It's a little weird. Like it reminds me of Final Fantasy 12 Zodiac Age. Where they did the great thing of making those characters unique, but you have to choose your entire build for your team at the outset of the game, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's just a little strange. I feel like, you know, a little weird. I know nothing about, like, Trials of Mana, like, the original Trials of Mana, except, you know, it was one of the games that didn't make it over here. But I feel like I ran into one of the characters that you would have gotten to choose before, and then you get a little scene with them. But since I didn't choose them, they didn't go with me.
Yeah. Huh. You can choose that character. If you're talking about the Uwu.
Yeah, I'm talking about the small little gremlin-looking character.
Her face is scary in 3D.
It's fantastic.
This feels like if SNES action RPGs were just still coming out. Where it's like the map design and everything. It felt like that. It felt nice.
This is apparently 1-1. People have told me this is 1-1. It even has the exact same script.
I mean, I feel I would compare it more to a PS2 style action RPG, just because, you know, it plays in 3D.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of it, and then the general structure where you're like, you go to a town and it's like, all right, sleep at the inn. Now you sleep at the inn really quickly, and then it pops you into the next thing you're doing. It kind of felt like going through those old style. Things that hit up like three different towns.
Wow,
like there was a meaty chunk, and then it ends with that big crab looking thing that I've always seen screenshots of. Yeah, where as you beat it up, it loses its eyeballs.
Yeah, that's real fucking freaky.
What main characters did you guys choose?
I chose Duran.
Is he like the typical sword fighter man?
Yeah, he's the sword fighter man with the crop top armor.
Yeah, okay.
He seems like my abs are sick and you must see them. And I chose doesn't matter who you choose for both slots because you only get one in this demo.
Oh, that explains it. I was like, well, I didn't get the other guy.
I mean, maybe you do if you pick. Maybe if you get pick Charlotte, you get her. But I picked, what the fuck are their names? I picked Angela, who is the purple-haired, like, mage lady, and Reese, who is the, I think that's how you say it. Reese, who is like the Valkyrie character.
Okay, that's the one I picked as my second, and I also picked Duran, so I had those two for the final chunk of the demo when you're going through the first proper, like, dungeon and everything.
That means KZ also experienced the Crimson movie suit.
I did not see this yes. character because I chose the thief.
This character shows up and his quotes, before Feel even said it, I was like, it kind of sounds like Feel doing his fucking voice.
That's awful.
That's amazing. I need to play as Duran, apparently.
It was really good.
Sometimes Square Enix has amazingly localized things, and sometimes they didn't spend quite so much money, and this is one of those cases.
Good, I'm glad.
Or it's like, man, this dub is straight out of 1996.
Yeah, it's got that 90s dub quality, where I wouldn't say this is terrible, I'm enjoying it.
Oh man, is dubbed in Canada? That'd be amazing.
Oh, yes!
Also,
Scott McNeil.
Do you remember, like, PS2 games where they couldn't do facial animation so well, so characters would, like, wildly gesticate as they spoke to try to, like, yeah. replace? We get that in this game, where Duran is talking to a fortune teller. He's just, like, swinging both his arms everywhere and losing his fucking mind. As his dub voice is like, I am very calm and rational, as he's just flailing.
Yeah. I've met that customer before.
They have the chop heaps doing that dance, which I'm almost certain is
yes,
from the
I
Secret
was
of Mana.
Very excited about.
It's also in Sword of Mana.
All of them.
They have a legacy of dancing.
And in Legend of Mana. The merchants always dance in Mana games.
It's so good.
Required by law.
It is.
That animation was so good.
That the one shopkeep in all of the Mana games is like, I'm tired of dancing. And then they're like, death.
They're in the fucking chair.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if they're going to make another thing like this, because this seems like a lot of work for a one-off. Like, it feels like it'd be easy to pop. Hey, Square Enix. I know nobody outside America played this because I think it was only released here. Do Secret of Evermore with this engine.
Don't listen to him. Don't do that.
Don't do it. Don't do it, man. That's seriously bad idea.
Secret of Evermore is fucking great.
I'm neutral, so I will say nothing.
What's wrong with Secret of Evermore? It's fantastic.
Yeah,
you get to run across the desert. Your dog becomes a big prehistoric dog. He becomes like a sleek dog in Rome, and at the end he becomes a robot dog. It's great.
Yeah, that's real great. I bet ICP is also really good.
Oh my god!
What? Fuck you, Dan! What's your problem with Secret of Evermore?
Hi, my name's Secret of Mana. I'm a beautiful game with a beautiful setting and all this great music and charm. And hi, I'm Secret of Evermore. I'm that loud kid down the street who doesn't shut the fuck up.
Yo, Trials of Mana, though.
Yeah. Very excited for this. Incredibly excited. Probably one of the games I'm looking forward to most this year. Like, it's Trials of Mana and probably also Resident Evil 3 off the top of my head.
Just the act of going through that boss and, like, doing combos and then just hitting, like, L2 or R2 to immediately switch to the other character.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, use their big move. It just felt really smooth.
Yeah. Bob.
Yeah, what's up?
Did you play anything else other than Neo 2?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that was everything except Neo 2.
Everyone here has played Neo 2. Let's knock out all the things that aren't Neo 2 before we talk about it. Feel. What did you play that is not Neo 2?
Nothing.
KZ, what did you play that
nope,
is not...
let's do Neo 2.
Okay, let's do it. And by everyone, I mean everyone but me. Come on, guys. You know me.
Dan playing video all games? Right. Nah.
Not this
Bob,
time.
What's your weapon of choice?
Right now I'm using the katana and I'm switching between the Tofa, the switch glaive, and the hatchets, which I used the hatchets for that whole stream I did. They can be pretty cool.
Where you were Xehanort.
Yeah, where I was Xehanort. Regrettably.
That shit is terrifying.
Yeah.
The power of the custom character creator is very strong.
How about Feel? What weapons are you partaking in?
I am using the Tonfa constantly, primarily, except for when I go, oh, they don't want me to use the tomfa on this boss, I'm going to use the sword.
I initially was going to use the odachi, which is the super, super long sword.
Uh-huh.
And the second boss clapped my ass so hard, I woke up using a Kusarigama and was a ninja suddenly. So I've just been using that for the rest of my time with it.
I had some fun with that in the first game. Did you use it much in the first game?
No, I went spear and hammer in the first game. And mostly focused on like hitting hard. This time I'm like actually using the ninja abilities and stuff and doing all that.
Yeah, they readjusted this, so now using ninja abilities gets you more ninja skill points, so it makes it a lot more doable.
That has helped a lot.
Yeah.
It's helped a lot when I look at my hotbar and it's like, I have 32 shurikens across 3 different shuriken types or some shit like that.
Good lord, how much have you played this? I have like 5 shuriken.
I just keep investing in those points. I got pretty far into this. Like, Bob,
what's up?
Where are you at? That might be a good way to measure it. Like, what have you been doing?
I'm on chapter 2. I've gone through one area transition.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I've done most of the stuff in the second area, I think. There could well be another whole set of things, but I feel like I'm down to 1 or 2 stages in that final area. Or that second area.
where are you at, Phil?
I have what I assume is the last area in the second area to do, because it's the big castle covered in crystal.
Yes.
I haven't gotten there yet because I have brain demons who say you can't progress until you do every single side mission, or you wasted your money and you shouldn't even have bought this game.
I'm doing the same thing.
I had intended that at first, and then I reached a mission that I was really bad at, which was like, you gotta pet this small cat, and then like we're gonna give you like 8 waves of enemies, and an old boss will show up at the end.
Oh yeah, that one's
pretty
good.
I haven't gotten that one yet.
That was in like the first area.
Oh yeah, I did that. And then I went, I have to do the Twilight ones too, even though there's no reason.
No, why?
I have to do them.
What are you doing?
My money if I don't do all the content.
Phil, you are absolutely right. Do not listen to these men.
Shut up, Dan.
I think that the only thing I don't like about some of those side quests is there are too many of them where you get like one checkpoint. There's no other checkpoint the whole thing. I don't feel like that was a problem the first Neo, so I don't know why they decided to go this route on this one.
Yeah, I reached a point in a couple of being like, I'm not going to fight you. I'm just going to run straight to the boss. Fuck you. I reached him legitimately once.
Yeah, right?
I have had some times where I go full ninja mode. I'm hiding in places. I'm getting headshots. I'm kiting enemies toward me and then throwing paralysis shuriken at their crotch. And then they're stunned and then I get like the critical hit. And then I die to something random and go, all right, I'm running through the rest of the level now.
I need to get that ninja ability that lets you turn invisible. I feel like that's going to be important.
I should probably do that. I've mainly invested in the like throwable weapons for now, but respecking's pretty cheap, so I might mess around with other stuff because I also have the ones like make your movement speed better and have better consumption. But I hit the third area today.
Ooh.
So I'm in the third chapter, I guess, the third region. And before this podcast, I was just fighting the boss of that, which is a nightmare. How are we feeling on the bosses of it so far, Bob?
I think they're actually really well designed. Like, they have a good feel to, like, actually projecting their attacks. You really do learn what's happening that they're doing from their visual cues. And the small sound effects and stuff they do. The only thing I really had trouble with so far, like extremely, was the snake.
Weird, like, you want to talk about the snake?
I like it, but at the same time, it has this problem of trying to target multiple things. He has 2 targets on himself, and then he busts out his snake's arms come off of him, and then they become targetable.
If he did not have the sicko mode where he drops off his arms, that boss would be fine.
Where it's like it's an interesting idea where it's all the yokai bosses, like once you damage them enough, they'll go and they'll activate the yokai realm and do some weird thing. And that one is a giant snake with 2 arms, those arms just being other snakes that will then drop. And then I go, I'm not equipped for this.
Yeah, I had to spec out like more to have. I got like explosive shuriken to show at them to try and kill them without getting too close to them, because they also poison you, or he shoots poison, something like that.
They have the thing where it's, if you do certain things in the levels, you can actually avoid making the bosses worse, like that when there are three snake statues that you can destroy.
Oh, I didn't.
And if you do that, there are no poison pools in that arena if you do it.
Huh.
Wait, there's none?
Yeah, you missed that big wide area. If you go back to the very beginning of it, right behind you, there's a hole, and it's out of the way, and then that has the third fucking statue that gets rid of the last pool.
That's cool.
See, I assumed it was insane, and then that big square block that you had to trick him into ramming into it or something, and it was in there. I assumed there was something with that big square block, and then apparently there's not.
Yeah, there's a really obvious statue, then there's one that's in the place with the shrine that you have to purify, and then there's one they actually
That would have made the fight easier, but not that much easier.
Right.
The only other level having a thing gimmick-wise that affects the boss I've noticed is the one I'm on, where there are spotlights? Demon spotlights. Where if it finds you, it then puts a big red circle around you and darkens everything around you.
Huh.
And it makes it really hard to like move around in the stage. But then if you hit it, you reach the red orb and you break it, it resets everything. And I thought I was glitched, because when I fought the boss, I'm like, huh, I killed two of those spotlights. Is that why this thing only has 70% of its stamina already? And yes.
That's a neat idea.
I like how most of the bosses have something like that. Like the whirlwind guy has those pillars you can make him smash, and he dumps water on himself.
Yeah, that boss I'm fighting, like, there's jars with the purification energy on them, and if you, like, hit them to charge your weapon while it's near you, the explosion, like, nerfs its stamina a lot because it was near it. So they have a lot of ways that, you know, if you pay attention or you're a little bit crafty, you can figure out some interesting strategies, which I appreciate, because there's no real hope of summoning people in this game. I've tried it a few times. People just don't do it.
Huh.
They just drop their little blue sword, which you can drop a sword in this game, and then an AI version of you will be in every other person's game. But if you use that on a boss, they will just face fuck the boss and do almost nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
The AI enemies are really fucking dumb.
Imagine how an AI character would handle the snake Bob. It would be face fucking and getting grabbed over and over again.
I had no idea. I hadn't used that system once.
Yeah.
They're dumber than that. I once watched one die 2 seconds after I summoned him because he saw an enemy across a sea of fire. And was like, I'm gonna fucking get his ass, and ran into the fire and fell down halfway through it and died.
My second time using it was on the snake boss, and we entered the door, because you can just run to the door and it'll warp your AI partner to it. And the snake's opener is to slither toward you because its head has a big spike on it. He didn't move out of the way and died instantly. He just got hit 3 times by the whole thing. And I was devastated. I'm like, you took my cups for this!
The only thing I use them for is if I see, like, a huge amount of red swords, I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna summon you, and you're gonna help me face-fuck all these guys and take their equipment.
You're gonna help teach me why this place is a problem.
No, I just do it to farm gear, because it's like those dudes are not prepared to have two guys wailing on them.
No, they're definitely not.
Also learned from feel in my own experiences, once you beat the snake boss, which is boss number 3, there seems to be no other yokai ability you obtain that is better than that one.
That one seems ridiculously powerful.
It is insane.
It has saved my ass against so many high-level enemies and bosses. Because I fought the wolf boss, and I broke through its entire yokai realm phase by just dropping the snake on him.
The wolf?
He must be past where we
like
are.
Like in a forest?
Oh, the Kamaitachi. So that's a weasel.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is, that damn knife tail thing.
Oh man, that sounds cool. I remember when those were in Otogi.
Otogi?
Yeah, on the Xbox original.
Is that on Xbox back compat?
I think the first one is, but the second one still isn't, I believe.
Yeah, Otogi 2 is not on the back compat list.
It's a real shame.
Yes.
Tragic.
You know who made that game? FromSoft.
Yes. FromSoft, when they made good, interesting games.
You're in a corner. I'm going to throw the snake at you, and he's going to hit you on every frame 450 times.
It's also a bit janky, because sometimes the snake won't follow the enemy, or it'll like leave after one attack. It's weird.
Yeah, and sometimes it'll be there for like fucking seven.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a roll or something, so it's just like, oh yeah, there has a chance of hitting this many more times, or what's going on with them.
Yeah.
What are you guys using for your second ones? Because I feel like everybody's just used rolling with the snake.
I'm using the Cyclops for my second one.
Oh.
Which is pretty good. He does like a spinning punch thing and like hits him three times. It's also kind of overpowered.
I'm using the hammer, the Ippon Datara, where you jump and do a somersault and do a hammer. Cause
those guys, it will almost one leg.
Yeah. It will almost always break the horn of something with horns. So you pop it on them and they immediately go, oh, and fall down on their knees and you can stab them in the face.
I want to get the umbrella one just to see what it does and maybe just rock that no matter what it is because the umbrella is hilarious.
I think it might just shoot out its quills like all around.
Probably.
Because I was fighting those earlier and they do that spin. I ran into this fucking thing that's like five people on top of each other and it's got like 80 legs and a bunch of eyes and when you get its like soul core, it just shoots seven fire beams out of different places and spins. It's weird, but I've been using Enki, which is like the first one you find. It's the one that throws the spear, because I wanted something that keeps me at a distance for my play style.
I was using that for a while, but I started getting frustrated because I do it, and then I jump up, and he'd throw the spear into something that was just above me I didn't see. Like, oh, overhang was here.
Okay, yes. That happens sometimes.
I was like, I'm done.
I'm overall really relieved with all the bosses because the snake's the only one that I didn't ultimately like, but all the other ones I really, really enjoyed. And all the music and all of the boss fights feels incredible. Just, it really elevates those fights, I feel, that makes them a lot better.
It does seem like there's a good progression to them. Like, it starts kind of slow and then it intensifies as they go to the different phases.
Yeah, it really gets me excited as I'm going through the fights. Done a couple of the human boss fights. They've been really solid.
Yeah, I like the one where he stabs you with his spear and then it zooms on his face as he smiles and pulls it through you.
I'm sad I'm using the dub because apparently it's Frieza.
Huh.
Yeah, that character is Frieza in the dub, so he gives that speech about how he killed his brother and it's just, I'm Frieza the whole time and I'm losing my mind.
But I've been having a great time with this. I'm starting to feel like maybe I just like... I felt like this when I played the first one. Maybe I just like this more than Souls games because it feels more action-focused.
Yeah.
I got confused when I moved. Because I'm like, oh, you move like you're controlling a character in a video game.
And this game runs drastically better than one. Like, yeah.
One was already way better than any Souls game, and this is like locked 60.
And this is
crazy.
Like Ninja Gaiden smooth, like original.
And the mechanics are so satisfying because you have the yokai like parry, where if you hit R2 and circle whenever an enemy glows red, and that's the most satisfying stuff to do on a boss.
I'm doing the feral type yokai shift stuff. What are you guys using?
Same. That's the yellow one. The big dodge one.
Yeah.
I'm using the Phantom because the mask and the giant chakrams and the teleporting is real cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the parry might be the most rewarding part of the game because I'd say, like, fight this boss. It's the giant weasel with, like, a knife tail, and it will jump on a tree, glow red, and then jump at you spinning. But if you press it right as it jumps toward you, it just slams it onto the ground. It's a real rewarding part of the combat where I feel like there's plenty of things I can do to defuse the situation.
It doesn't feel like that's the only way of interacting with the combat either. Like Bayonetta 2, I always gripe at it for basically the only way to do damage to someone is do a dodge and then you can do the attacks. Like it doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like this is just a natural thing they've added. It doesn't it's not the only way to damage your opponent.
Yeah, because I saw like a clip on Twitter this week of someone fighting one of the human bosses. It's like some badass samurai or something. And they bust out the hand cannon, which in this is like the bazooka, and it and was able to stagger, stun lock him immediately with it. I'm like, this game's stupid. It just kills it in 25 seconds, just blowing these giant explosive shots into its head.
The hand cannon is insane. It's like, this is the most ultimate of ninja powers, the gun.
I think that's the specific thing that I like a lot compared to like other games of this type, is that the projectile weapons feel super strong, and I just like pulling out a gun and going, all right, I'm just going to do 3,000 damage on this dude's head.
It also feels good to aim, unlike any Souls game ever will.
Which, you need it for those enemies, too, because there are the enemies that shoot you every, like, 3.5 seconds. So you need to be able to position quickly, and it feels responsive.
What do you mean, Bob? You don't like whipping out your binoculars and knowing your magic will shoot to exactly the center of the screen? So that lets you aim your magic, even though there's no way to do that.
Oh my god!
To do that without an item.
God, that's such so janky. And then I just thinking about the hit detection on random environmental stuff in Nioh. Basically, everything is properly mapped. So if you're shooting past a wall or past a tree, you will shoot past that tree into the guy, not clip into the invisible wall next to the tree. And your arrow is just stuck there midair.
Man, I shot a guy between, like, guardrails, and I'm like, man, that wouldn't have fucking worked in most games.
Yeah, it has been a joy. I really like the original Nioh, and this is just that only better in pretty much every aspect.
Yeah, I think the only thing I feel weaker on is the story so far. I was really hoping they'd really, like, step up and tell a good story this time, because I liked the first one, like, the little bits we got. But this time it feels like they're even backing off further by giving you the custom-made character. You feel even more disconnected from the story because your character just looks at people. Like Astral Chainmen.
They Pokemon T-pose.
It's like a step above Astral Chain because he seems to somewhat care when someone dies.
Yes. When you hit the third region and get the first cutscene there's something really funny with how they treat the non... like the main character, along with your buddy.
All right, I'm hopeful, but I don't think they'll be able to match up to what they did with John D in the last game.
Yeah, I don't think so with that weird ass shit.
Here's a really important question, guys. Do you think Jedi Fallen Order 2 will feel as good as Nioh?
No,
not in a million fucking years.
I hope you're all wrong.
I would be great. I would love to be wrong.
That would be incredible. I wish there was a game that had the level of Nioh's like build variety and like the skill trees and stuff.
Diablo 2, not 3.
I'm gonna kill KZ's gonna start playing Diablo 2, not 3. And then I'm gonna gank him by leaving one coin on every single tile so his
computer
and he can't do anything while I kill him.
No!
Welcome, KZ, to my realm of coins.
And that's why PC gaming is a scourge on this planet.
Well, I guess that covers the games we played this week. It's time to talk about PS5 specs.
But Dan.
No, Dan. Yeah?
No, you forgot something, Dan.
Did I?
Yes.
What?
I'm talking about the Pod Lords.
Oh, yeah, the Pod Lords. I mean,
oh, fuck the Pod Lords!
That's right. Pod Lords, such as Danny Richardson, E. Lee Broyles, Texas Man Joined Smash, Dilly
question
Dally.
Question mark now?
Shilly Shally.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yep. Red Blaze 27. Wait a second. There was one in between. It was Dank Mormons.
Surprising.
A normal Pod Lord name. Ain't that the truth? Suzu Shiro.
Yeah.
Emperor Zero. Oh my god. Rukia.
Oh no.
The letter key from the Greek alphabet. A future member of Gigaboot's content. This image is incredible. I need you to see this. One moment. I assume this is completely faithful to the character in Bleach.
Correct. Or less.
Okay. What a fantastic character.
Very wonderful.
Throwing daylight savings time apologist into an incinerator.
Again?
No.
It hasn't.
No, it doesn't. It has zero moments.
No, shut the fuck up.
The one game that Dan and Bob are too scared to play. One moment. Can't tell what this is. Zooming, enhancing. That is a picture of Gex 3 deep cover gecko. You are incorrect.
Yes!
Bob is 100% down for playing that, and so am I. Next time we do a PS1 roulette, just show up.
Can we do a death stream of Gex 3?
Lady Popcorn.
Gotta pay for the PS5 somehow.
Maddie Mo, thanks, Thing, for exposing eco-fascists on Twitter. I'll let you guess what Thing was. It is highly relevant event.
Oh.
Just because you're a podlord doesn't mean you can demonetize our video.
You can't even put it in text on the screen. They can detect that and will demonetize you.
This is a mess of words. I'm going to read it. I have no idea what it means. Vapor conflict, warrior top grade. I'm unenthused.
Can you read that again?
It literally reads like someone losing their mind. Am I right?
What? Oh no, this is going to be good.
The only actual, unironic, Connor the Android stan, hashtag
oh, no.
Busey become human.
Oh my god.
That's pretty good. I like that a lot.
This is so far the least horrifying one.
I've been sent by Cyberlife.
The sad thing is that the Joe Biden one still looks better than the actual human being.
N60 fornicator mozzarella.
Cool.
Nintendo 64.
They're dick shaped like the controller.
This trope will never get old. 101 Shades of Wonderful got bought by Microsoft, but he's still in S. Because their name was too long.
Smash.
And it cut off. It is a picture of Phil Spencer.
Tragic.
WTF Spider-Man. Mister. I like bacon. Modern wizard.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what the fuck? Bob Toasters, aka the number one fan of Karnov, the man who saved fighting games.
What?
Oh, is it gonna be different from last week? Is it badass Karnov again?
It is badass Karnov again.
Yeah. Oh, it's a different badass Karnov.
This is good.
How the fuck are our two iconic characters, Gary Busey and Karnov?
Karnov has a very Gary Busey energy, if you ask me.
You want to play Karnov?
DFW3K did not pay $50 to be defeated by character limit, and then it cut it off. It didn't even get the T. It's character limit. Tragic. Voltic.exe and Chase Ray. Thank you very much to our podlords.
Gracias.
Thank you, podlords.
Thank you, podlords. And if you would like to become a podlord, or in general, help us fund future Bleach-related content, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get many benefits, such as Cursed Content Club commentary tracks, Cursed Content by Committee, that's our user-voted Cursed Content show, early access to Mondo Cool, how early varies based on how Dan feels.
Correct.
Extended armchair dev pitches, and other bonuses that may or may not exist at some point. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Thank you to everyone who's woken up to justice, like the Podlords. And thank you to Mark Cerny, who helped me wake up to the dream of the SSD.
That is quite good. It's time to get into news. I think we should talk about the biggest piece of news we have here this week.
Should I lead the way then?
Bob, the biggest piece of news.
So there's been a new announcement, and we don't normally cover this, but Bleach is getting a new season of anime.
I quit.
Yeah.
in the year 2021.
Yes!
The thousand-year blood war arc.
After being canceled in 2012.
Finally happened.
It's coming back.
It's finally real. I don't know. How big is the gap between when Inuyasha stopped and then came back for final act? Did this beat that?
I'll fucking know.
This is going to end up, in the end, being 9 years, so I think it might beat that.
Probably will.
But this is like, we're hitting a Kubo-tight renaissance.
Yeah, he also is getting an anime for his other work, the Burn the Witch.
It was only, that might have been a mistranslation. Actually, I think it might be getting serialized.
Yeah, what's happening is they're doing an anime series on it, and he's going to be doing a serialized manga because it was a one-shot before. And he was talking about how exciting it is that he's going to be working on both at the same time, the anime of that, and also doing the manga.
I look forward to the... Bob, did you read Burn the Witch?
Yeah, I read that.
KZ, did you read Burn the Witch?
Yeah, I did. That's why I'm excited about it.
I am very excited to see how the end of that one shot pans out.
Yes.
I'm hoping it doesn't, because that makes no sense.
That's why I want it to. We have a Bleach podcast goal that is of $3,500.
It'll be great. So, we can hit that, and because it's the anime, Dan will not only experience all of the wonders of Bleach, including characters like... let me look up KZ's horrible tweet so I can read this motherfucker's name. Because it is so fucking bad. Nanjakoop.
Yes, the iconic Nanjakoop, Pernita Parkinchuk,
and Bambietta Basterbean.
What were these in?
They were the horrible Quincy's from the last arc.
Oh, God.
Remember how the gimmick was, I made 26 villains, and you're going to care about them. There's one for each letter of the alphabet.
Yeah, it was really bad. This final arc is maybe the worst part of the whole show.
Good thing they finally made it. Best part of the whole show. It's going to be great.
But Dan will not only get to enjoy those characters, he'll get to enjoy Ichigo's receding hairline in one specific part.
But yes, please consider becoming a patron, so maybe you can see the adventures of Bleach and great characters like Ask and Knack Levar.
When we get to them in 7 years.
Yeah. That's our goal. If we do anime content, it needs to last at least the better part of a decade.
No, all we cover are the filler arcs. We doesn't get the real content.
Oh, man.
No. Here's the thing. None of us can say anything, what anything is, and Dan has to try and guess what's filler.
Oh, God. Well, that's some great news. All right. Now, Dan, you can now have control once again and try to get this podcast as quickly done as possible.
I'm going to smoke this fine Cuban cigar while Dan talks for 45 minutes.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Dan.
I heard Control's getting some DLC.
Yeah, I like Control. I finished that a while ago. They're doing the Foundation DLC comes at the end of the month. Apparently, it's going to be 3 months later on Xbox. That's a little surprising.
Spiteful, almost. Sony's really covered in some of that fuck you money, huh?
I guess.
They've been throwing a bit of that out as of late. Last nine months, they've done that three times now?
Yeah.
It's brutal. You actually...
I feel like the last time we mentioned that, I think it was like the Kingdom Hearts one, and the comments are like, no, it's unconfirmed. You can't say they did dirty money deals.
I mean, we're not even saying it's dirty. It's just what happened.
Yeah, no.
They do this all the time.
That happens all the time. What the fuck
it's unconfirmed, though.
Like, did people forget how Destiny's like, yeah, our DLC is exclusive on...
Look, you just because most of the time when the door opens at the grocery store, when you walk up to it because there's a sensor on top, you didn't confirm it did this time. It could have been a little man, like I've been saying this whole time.
No,
opening the door who's invisible.
Ooh.
That time, the Jedi mind trick worked on the door, I swear to God.
Bob, are you eight?
Yes.
That Dan, you can't prove it's not Hempel's Raven. Temple's Raven, Dan.
But I new DLC for Control. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Probably.
Eric's very excited. You really enjoyed Control, came to it after our Game of the Year thing.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed Control.
I wanted to play Control. There's just too much.
Tell me about it. Man, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, no, this week is crazy.
I guess I'll get to it. So Digital Foundry went over to Redmond. That's what John Linneman was maybe not the most thrilled to get on a plane during this event and go cover. He had to film him and Richard Ledbetter over in Redmond checking out the Xbox Series X, getting all the details on the specs.
Cool.
And various other things.
You were there too.
There was a man in a denim jacket there. It was probably me. You can't prove me wrong.
It's very heartwarming to see you being on the rise like this.
True. I say that as me. They announced they don't have a plan to make games specifically for the Series X. Everything's going to be back compat with the Xbox One for a while, and then after that it's going to be also on PC. The way they showed off the SSD and other things like that is they had Gears 5 gone sicko mode, so it was the ultra PC equivalent with 60 frames per second cutscenes, and they did a quick port to the Xbox Series X with this. And apparently it was performing at a level with a GTX or an RTX 2080, which is actually pretty impressive. That's a $750 video card. So doing a quick and dirty port to get something to run that well is pretty nice. Hopefully this is not a $750 console. I assume it's not going to be. That would be unreasonable, but they still didn't comment on price. The weirdest thing... I find it hard to get excited about this. They announced that the Gears of War Ultimate Edition, which was the remaster for the Xbox One, now plays in 4K. So they're taking games that were 1080p on the Xbox One and running them in 4K. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
I have a console that's supposed to already do that. You know what it's called?
Is it the Xbox One X?
You are correct. It's a very similar name.
Holy shit.
In fact, they flew a guy out there to do this with an influencer. I believe his name's Austin Evans, and he accidentally called the Xbox Series X the Xbox One X. And then he was fucking embarrassed. And then not even a whole minute later...
He shouldn't be embarrassed.
I know. Not even a whole minute later in the video, he's like, hey, why'd you guys name it that? And I shit you not, this is what the guy at Microsoft said. Bob was in the room. He can confirm this. We wanted people to know... We wanted to make it easy for them to buy the latest Xbox, so we called the product Xbox.
And this one's just the Series X.
This model is called the Series X. He said this with a straight face, like what crawled out of his mouth made perfect sense.
A man who apparently has never walked in a store.
Or met a customer.
Right. No human has interacted with this man before. I don't know how they found
it. I know this is their intention. I understand that that's what they wanted. It's like when they made the Xbox One and they're like, people are going to call this the One. And then no one fucking did that.
Microsoft is that fucking Watchmen comic where he's like, it's too bad Steve Jobs died of Ligma.
You shut the like, fuck up, Dan. You've been laughing about that for 2 hours now.
He vaporizes him and goes, lick my ball.
Fucking post it in the channel so people can see what it is.
Okay, good. Yes.
This is a cult.
This is what
a cult sounds like.
Yes.
It's like, motherfucker, what are you going to do? What are you going to do 3 series from now? And they see the Xbox Series X, R, and Q on the fucking shelf.
Yeah, no, that's stupid.
Yeah, like, this is already going to be a problem when they release it. Because the Walmart employee ain't going to know. They just know. They have no idea. Not. Like a year after it launches, no clue.
So when they did this event, they put the Xbox One X on sale for $200 from the Microsoft store. I assume they aren't moving units very fast and they need to get through the stock.
The Xbox One X is basically always on sale for $300. It's sad.
That stock went in fast. I refreshed the page when I saw it come up because Phil mentioned it. And it was gone already.
Yeah,
like,
I was like,
sold out in like 10 minutes.
I was able to fight back the demons. I was like, oh, it's a lot off. Should I buy it? I'm like, no, I have no reason to buy it. Get out of my head, sale demon.
I mean, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you just not get it? And then eventually, if you get an Xbox Series X, you get all the things you would have gotten with this, but even better, you know?
Yeah, 8K banjo.
Yeah, exactly. 8K stony banjo.
Ooh.
But does the Series X have 3D audio? Because I want 3D audio.
It does have 3D audio. Like, they're talking about there's a chip on it to do better 3D audio, but they seem to be doing less of a dive than Sony. Sony actually bought an audio middleware company back in 2019 and did a ton of investment into their very custom 3D audio thing. So it's kind of nuts over there. Anyways, just busting through the rest of the Microsoft stuff real quick. They showed off Minecraft with ray tracing.
Hype! Yes!
Easily the most exciting thing there. And that says a lot,
doesn't
it?
That's the exclusive to Series X.
Yeah, it is. They had a guy port Minecraft DXR.
Why do they keep doing this?
It only took them one month.
I saw the comparison photos. It looks incredible.
Yeah, you push a button and it changes from normal Minecraft lighting to ray tracing. And honestly, I think it looks really neat.
It's definitely interesting.
Is it though, Bob? Like, I know it is for me, but you were very critical of the Xbox Series X showing this week.
My main problem is they didn't do anything themselves, basically. They flew in YouTubers to talk about it for them, because they couldn't even figure out what their message was. That's all I can come away from this with.
Yeah, it's a launch year for Microsoft. Do you remember the Xbox One, where every executive had a different fucking answer for a question?
Yeah, that was insane.
At least this is better than that?
It's better than that, for sure.
We have an offline system. It's the Xbox 360.
Yeah,
it's we have a system for military men. It's called the 360, sir. That is our number one demo. What the fuck are you saying?
Yeah, it's not as depressing as that was by any means.
You know, there's a lot of numbers for the specs. I'm gonna brutalize this into covering things that I think are interesting. It has 16 gigs of RAM. 10 gigs of it run at a faster speed of 560 gigabytes per second. 6 gigs of it run at a slower speed. And then half of the slower speed one, or 2.5 gigabytes of the 6 gigabyte slower speed set, is for the OS. That's really weird. I've never seen that. I've never seen one memory pool that has two different speeds for two different sets of it.
Yeah, because last time they had the ESRAM stuff, right? Which is a similar concept.
Yeah, but not really, because the ESRAM's radically smaller, and what you would use that for is for doing, like, particle effects and things where you want a really huge amount of bandwidth with the memory to do graphics techniques, right?
Okay.
This is not radically fast like ESRAM is. It's not tiny like ESRAM is. It's just... two-thirds of the RAM runs fast. One-third of the RAM, a little over, doesn't run as fast. It's really weird, because that has to be something that devs keep an eye on. And I think that's weird. Also, they're talking about the Direct Store API. For people who don't know, an API is a thing that you can interface with as a game developer. Application protocol interface? I don't know. Anyways... it allows you to use specific features. So OpenGL is an API. DirectX is an API. This API, Direct Store, allows game devs to use the solid-state drive as an extended virtual memory. And then, maybe they can use this much space in order to store some things that they'll need in a second. It's a very weird concept. And since it's... needing to be implemented deliberately through an API, it seems less radical and immediate of
tubular
of a benefit than the insane solution Sony's come up with, which I'll talk about when we get there. They showed off load times for games. State of Decay took 35.5 seconds or 35.3 seconds to load on the Xbox One X and 8.5 seconds to load on the Xbox Series X. Bob.
Yes.
How did you feel?
I felt like it wasn't enough. Maybe it's because that game also didn't really impress me or anything, but that's not... It just... it felt like there was still a good bit of time there at the beginning, which it, if it's only one load, that's not a big deal. It's obviously immensely better.
Yeah.
But it's not like, wow. Maybe just the way they presented this video could have been better somehow.
What you're saying, Bob, is that it's a Band-Aid on the problem, but it's not like waking up to the dream of the SSD.
Yeah, I guess it's not.
Well, Bob, in a minute here, we may talk about a console that might allow you to wake up to the dream of the SSD.
What kind of fucking dream? It's like, oh, it's been my dream to play State of Decay. Sorry, that was a little mean.
that was a little mean, which is why I laughed that hard, because it just seemed vicious. It's like you punched a complete stranger.
It was one of those moments where I couldn't hold it together. I'm like, who fucking gives a shit?
Right, I feel like they could have chosen any game that's known to have bad load times and show that instead of State of Decay 2, a game nobody played.
State of Decay 2 is known for having really bad load times in State of Decay 2. Look, man, they would have shown Kingdom Hearts 3, but I don't think Square would have appreciated that.
Show me The Witcher 3. Just do that. That's probably the best thing you can do.
So here's the thing, right? They show this suspend resume feature where you can suspend your game and then it stores its memory straight onto the solid state drive to later be resumed like it's a save state.
Right,
and the load times took over 6 seconds for each one. I feel like most of that is the OS not being lean enough and the SSD not being fast enough, because when they announced that feature, I expected it to be faster.
Right. I thought that the whole idea was going to be really smooth and felt. Also, it was really depressing to see it just be the identical OS to what we're using on the Xbox One right now.
And Bob, that emotion is this entire console.
Yeah,
it just
feels like there's nothing new.
I'm going to be playing Halo Infinite on it. I'm going to be using the same OS. It's going to feel basically identical. And it looks really similar to the Xbox One X. It's just a chungus version.
They should have contacted third parties to like demo their games loading. That would have been a lot better.
I think so. Because the games they showed for the Suspend Resume is Forza 7, The Cave, Hellblade, and Ori. And
The Cave?
Yes.
The Cave.
What is The Cave? I don't know what The Cave is.
The Cave is a shitty fucking garbage Double Fine piece of shit. Oh, it's Double Fine. That's why they own it.
Yeah,
oh my God. I was trying to figure that out.
I was going to tell you guys that every game they showed, they owned.
Yeah, I was like,
it came out on the fucking PS3. I don't even think it has a modern version.
I'm pretty sure it does.
When I think of we need to show what the next generation of gaming is going to do. We have solid state drives with good loading. Talk to Square. Show me how Final Fantasy 15 loads, because that takes forever. Show me Monster Hunter World, like jumping into a hunt, because that also takes forever. Show me stuff that's really bad right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
show me how it's improved.
Exactly.
You could even do the newest Assassin's Creed. That would be a wide appeal.
Like,
yeah.
Like if it's fucking The Cave, no one knows what The Cave is.
I wish I didn't know what The Cave was.
And if
was.
They do, they don't like it.
And like, here's the thing, this isn't actually that impressive. As I said before, like, I was expecting it to go a little bit faster for the suspend and resume feature. These are Xbox One games. The Xbox Series X games are gonna have twice as much memory, so it's gonna take like 12 seconds, which sounds petty. It really does, but you need to understand that this could have been absolutely incredible. I was a little disappointed by how long it took, just a little bit.
Some part of me wants them to have to show a demo where they actually put their system into suspend mode, then turn it back on and do this. Because currently Xbox not able to do that too well.
Bob, that is almost like you just said, to show off the new Xbox, they sit a dude down in front of it and go, okay, now look up. Now look down.
Look down.
Dent.
Bob is like, to show me the power of the new Xbox, we're going to put it under this hydraulic press.
They flew YouTubers out to tell me about the system. One of them should have done it.
Yeah.
Do it on a hydraulic press. You'll make it look like a real console eventually.
I think one of the most interesting things, like, this is... So let me tell you the two most hyped things for me, because the solid-state drive speeds were a little disappointing here. Just a little bit. I still think solid-state drive being in every console is hugely important, and I'm glad it's there. Those read speeds, those suspend speeds, those resume speeds, and the load times, they aren't quite where I want them. I think the coolest shit is Minecraft ray traced, which says a lot, and the machine learning that can turn Fusion Frenzy into an HDR video game.
Yeah.
What? This is real.
What?
This is real. They
Sony's fucking finished.
They used machine learning to turn the SDR 480p Fusion Frenzy game into a 4K HDR experience, and they also did it with Halo 5. Halo 5 is HDR capable on your Xbox Series X. I think that's really fun. I think that's really, really fun and gimmicky and dumb. And I'm really excited, like, to see dumb shit like that and stare at it and be like, does this look correct? Does this look cool? I don't know. I want to poke around with it.
Ninja Gaiden 1 HDR.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no way that looks right. Your leather's going to be so shiny, it's going to blind you, Bob.
Oh my God, it will.
Your ass cheeks are going to be making it hard to fight the enemy because they're going to be glowing with power. You're going to look like the Doom Slayer with the assless chaps.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's all I want to talk about with the Xbox Series X.
Dan, don't forget about the memory card.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So SSD comes in every system. They want to make sure people have a way to upgrade their system. Now, you can use a hard drive externally, and you can play your back compat games off of that just fine, and you can store your Xbox Series X games on that just fine, but you can't play your Xbox Series X games off of external hard drives. It needs the SSD speeds. But what you can buy is an external SSD, custom-made for the Xbox Series X by Microsoft's friends at Seagate, as they phrase it. Shit looks like a memory card. It's probably going to cost around $200 or more. Who knows? They didn't announce it, but it looks very cool. It sounds easy to use. I hope to God they aren't just overselling it, and I sincerely hope it's smooth. you just plug it in, and you can play the games off of it immediately. You know, it comes, they're
just
showing
immediately that this is what we have on it. Just easy.
Yeah. And it sounds like it has a full terabyte of space. Like this one unit they're talking about specifically. And they talk about, you know, it can get larger in the future. It's very cool. I'm glad they're making that solution. I'm glad they're allowing storage on external.
Yeah. It's like the Vita situation where it's worrying, like,
yes, because it's proprietary.
Yeah, it's proprietary. And then years after this thing becomes irrelevant because it kills the Microsoft brand for Xbox, it might become hard to find these.
Whoa! I woke up to the Xbox news and went, am I awake? No, the Xbox has used proprietary memory. What's happening?
Yeah, it's the SSD in every system is a complicated problem to solve. I was shocked with the solution Sony went with, and I do think it's the better solution. Sony's solution is they're going to certify SSDs that consumers can buy, M.2 SSDs. They're going to certify a list of which ones are compatible with their system because they need to be insanely fast to keep up with what the PS5's doing.
Which is funny because you wouldn't need to be this insanely fast on the Xbox side.
You are correct. Nowhere near as fast, actually. You could absolutely buy an SSD on the market today that would work in the Xbox Series X if they would let you do that.
An adapter. Somebody's going to make it.
I would agree with that if it weren't for the crazy encryption bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure at some level, Microsoft has custom programmed the Flash controller to encrypt things. That's what I would expect. Tackling the PS5 stuff as quickly as possible. A lot of what they're talking about here sounds like they put an insane amount of effort to make the SSD as insanely fast as possible. This thing far exceeds anything I could have expected. they've put custom processors onto the motherboard itself to decompress a new layer of compression, because for the PS4 they use something called Zlib, which compresses it a decent bit. The PS5, they went out and built a custom compressor and decompressor for Rad Game Tools Kraken in compression method, which adds even more compression, 10% over Zlib. And between that and the insane spec of SSD they're using, their SSD with the compression taken into account is transferring at 8 to 9 gigabytes per second. To stress how fast that is, guys, that is RAM. That is DDR3 RAM speeds. When your storage is that fast, that is a fucking game changer. Like that.
Do we know how fast the Xbox is, or have they just kind of...
Yes. They actually came out, and this shit's twice as fast.
That's a lot.
Ruh-roh.
And it's not only that, it's twice as fast. Like, when you look at the raw numbers, the raw speed on Xbox is 2.4 gigabytes per second. The raw speed on PlayStation 5 is 5.5. That's over two times as fast for just the raw speed.
And that's without the compression taken into account.
Yeah, you take the compression of both into account. The Xbox Series X is 4.8 gigabytes per second, and the PS5 is 8 to 9 gigabytes per second. And that's unbelievably fast. But Sony went through and very detailed talked about, you know, they put a ton of effort into this processor that sits on the motherboard and manages the SSD. Because once the SSD is that fast, you choke at all sorts of layers. You see it on PC all the time. And this is something I've actually explained before to people, where I'm like, when you're on PC, your solid state drive can be really fast, but at the OS level, at the driver level, at this level, it can choke for all these reasons. And those are unsolvable because it's Windows. They have completely rewritten the flash controller to very delicately make sure that it doesn't choke at any of these levels. In fact, they said they wrote the... they made the processor on the system able to decompress 22 gigabytes per second off of the storage. So when these external SSDs get so much faster, the PS5 will scale up with it.
What?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about, because it's able to handle that much bandwidth.
Oh my God.
That's fucking nuts. But one of the weird things is the Xbox Series X is a clean terabyte of storage. The PlayStation 5 is 825 gigabytes, which they explained because of their setup for the SSD and etc. And the fact that they're a console and they're not selling the SSD as its own product, they feel like they don't have to make it a nice square number. So there are a lot of points I want to talk about, but here's something that most people aren't going to explain. When you boot up your Xbox One X with a terabyte of storage, you have like 700 gigs between Windows and the amortized space caused by formatting and everything else. I wouldn't be surprised between the Kraken compression method and the PS5 taking up less space, because the Xbox Series X has the suspend and resume features, which take up part of the SSD. They also have Windows, which is a larger OS than the PS4 and presumably the PS5's OS. I wouldn't be surprised if, since the games are going to be smaller using the Kraken compression method on the PS5, if these two storage sizes aren't really close to each other, if not like really close to the same, you know? And that's kind of the story with all of this. The PS5 on paper has a lower performance than the Xbox Series X. You know, it's a 10.28 teraflops instead of 12.155. But what they talked about a lot during this road to the PS5 thing is that if you stack a bunch of execution units on your hardware, you have to fill those execution units with something to do every single time, or that's lost performance. If you have fewer execution units but clock it way higher, that is less of a problem. In fact, you get all sorts of other benefits from all the other things on the GPU because it all clocks up. So that honestly does sound like a more performant design. I wouldn't be surprised if these two consoles are much closer in performance to each other. I also am interested if the custom hardware from Sony on the SSD end of things doesn't, in fact, reduce the CPU load of loading things from the SSD. Because normally when you hit up your drive for a ton of data, the CPUs hit really, really hard. Sony talked about their custom hardware alleviates that insanely because they knew if it went unchecked, hitting the SSD up at 9 gigabytes per second would make your CPU choke. I have to wonder if Microsoft's got that level of hardware to cope with that and if they're going to have CPU performance loss from that. I don't know. These are really interesting things that the divide and design between these two consoles bring up. On paper, the CPU in the PS5 is 0.1 gigahertz slower, which is virtually nothing. So if there was that thing, if there was a CPU cost on the Xbox Series X for loading a shitload of things from the SSD, then you could easily see maybe the PS5 performs better on the CPU. If Sony's correct on the GPU side, they could be identical or Sony could pull ahead. Last thing I want to mention on this. Even if these numbers, these raw teraflop numbers, are 100% accurate and the real world performance thing that Sony's talking about with the PS5 and other, like, tons of developers in the industry are backing them up on this. Tons of them are coming out of the woodwork and being like, yeah, guys, the teraflop number isn't everything. You need to understand there's a balance to the operating system and all these other layers that need to be accounted for. This is the most exciting hardware we've seen in 20 years, is what multiple different people in the industry said. Even if the raw teraflop number was correct, it was the be-all, end-all, the performance difference is about 17.8%. If you're talking the Xbox Series X is running a game at full native 4K 60, then that means this, on paper, PS5 would be running it at, instead of 2160p, which is 4K, 2060p. And I'm a pixel peeper, guys, but I am not going to be able to notice the loss of 100 rows or 100 columns of pixels in internal rendering resolution when I have over 2,000 of them. That's so negligible.
It's going to be huge, Dan. It's just like the difference between 1080p and 960.
No, it's nowhere near that. Also, it's 900.
Oh,
I know, because I'm on the vanilla. I'm very familiar with it.
I don't think performance really matters. Like, I could perfectly be fine playing a game at 720p, 45 frames a second. It'd be no big deal.
Yeah, that's so smooth.
Yeah.
You love Bloodborne.
Look, sometimes you update three times in a row and you go, I'm going to take this fourth one off.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I stressed this before the numbers came out. I honestly thought the PS5 number was going to be even lower here. I thought it was going to be 9 teraflops, which was a rumor at one point. But 17.8% really isn't that much. Even if the on-paper thing was 100% accurate, which all of the information in the world is coming out to say, hey, that's really not the case. It's really not going to be the divide you see in these two numbers in front of you. Even if that was the case, you bet your fucking ass I am trading 17.8% performance for an SSD that is insanely optimized and goes twice as fucking fast. That is an impactful difference. Like, they're talking about, we want to boot a game in 1 second. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, there's no point in no reason to have a multi-suspend if you can boot a game in less than a second.
Right. And I don't doubt that the Xbox Series X OS has a lot of bloat layers. You know, it is Windows. It's
Windows is fine, Dan.
Mm-hmm. How'd your stream go the other day where some weird spectral ghost appeared in your capture card?
Yeah, I should have used Linux.
KZ, I would lose it if you started using Linux.
You're, you would lose it, but then you'd also probably hit me.
Oh, man. And then
and I want you to.
Sony talked about 3D audio. It's cool. It's really cool. It's way too complicated for me to get into here. I just wanted to talk about, like, real world terms. 17.8% really isn't that different. Everyone
that's almost a fifth.
Yes, if you round up, it's a fifth. If you round up a lot,
basically a quarter.
Okay, sure.
A lot of rounding.
You want to negotiate? I think this is the third.
Oh man, you're saying that the Xbox is going to be twice as good as the PlayStation? Bold.
Half. Final offer.
The only other interesting thing to talk about with the
Doom,
PS5.
Doom, Sony cuck.
Yeah, that's been Twitter since they had this GDC panel that a bunch of bros showed up for. This thing has 10 million views, Bob.
That's insane.
10 million people watched Mark Cerny talk about SSD optimization at the architecture level for an hour.
Yeah, I'm like, I can keep track of most of that, but a lot of them went even over my head. So, I feel like I'm well above the average consumer.
So what you're saying is you're trying to imagine the customer who came in and bought something today just tuning into this?
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Well, the jargon-heavy Xbox Series X and PS5 reveals vindicate Nintendo's approach.
I'm sure someone said that.
That was a headline at a Nintendo website.
God. Nintendo Life.
Hey, Nintendo Life, you should be better than this.
I responded, please hire someone who isn't brain dead.
I saw a lot of people that said a similar statement about the whole thing, which was, sure, this is a GDC-type talk, but this is Sony's fault. They promoted it heavily, and they did it just like a Nintendo Direct. And people went, what? They said a stream would happen?
Yeah, that's
they used like a stream during a pandemic. I get you don't leave your house, but things are different now.
The Nintendo Direct promotional style of, hey, this exists. Here's a description of what it is. It doesn't include games.
They even start the thing saying, this isn't about games. We'll do a teardown later. Like, this couldn't have been more clear that it was about that. When they announced this, the tweet says, join lead system architect Mark Cerny for a deep dive in the PS5's architecture to find out how developers can make great games with our system. Anyone who showed up and expected some really mainstream stuff is a fucking idiot.
Shout out to Jason Schreier.
Shout out to Jason Schreier, that smooth brain fuck. Look, maybe I would be nice to the guy if he didn't block me for no actual... Like, I've talked to him once ever on Twitter and I'm blocked. Fuck you, man.
You made fun of him.
I probably retweeted a person who posted a screen cap of some terrible replies he made like 10 years ago. Or 8 years ago.
You probably just follow me.
That's insane. Come the fuck on. Bro.
That can't be true. He hasn't blocked me. If there's one thing I would have wanted in this presentation, though, is the fact that they're talking up the SSD so much. I would have loved if they like pulled up a video example of a couple of their games like going really fast.
Yeah.
Just to like show it to people. I'm not like looking for something new or really big blow up, but like show Spider-Man, show Horizon, like show
try
some of
to show
games.
Bloodborne, like, it crashes the PS5.
Yeah. Show someone dying in Bloodborne and watch it be 1 second so people will fucking shit.
Man, it's weird how Sony has a list of games that aren't embarrassing to show off.
Oh yeah, all the games that they can show off that are first party only would be incredible to see.
No, they gotta show Days Gone, they gotta show The Order.
Even Days Gone is less embarrassing than State of Decay.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Days Gone versus State of Decay. I know which one I'm absolutely more for.
I'd rather play Days Gone than State of Decay.
I feel so bad. I spent the Microsoft one saying they should have shown more. They should have shown third parties. And my default on this was first party games. Oh, shit.
I mean,
I didn't mean to. Just do that.
Microsoft's first party is a little rough.
That's how appealing they are, and that I realized that just now, and it hurts.
Let's quick boot between every Forza game. That was cool. Let's not talk about anything else, please.
I'm buying that console at the end of the year. I was a little disappointed by the suspend resume. I expected it to be snappier. I wanted it to load faster. I have more optimism about the PS5, but there is the really confusing thing we haven't talked about yet.
Ah, yes.
Mark Cerny makes the statement about how, because of the boosted clock speeds on the PS5, they, in theory, some PS4 game code could get broken by this. Now, he talked about this right after talking about they baked into the PS5 at a hardware level backwards compatibility with the PS4. While a slide is on screen showing PS4 mode, PS4 Pro mode, and then PS5 native mode, and it describes the prior two modes as legacy modes. We've already had documentation come out that shows that it downclocks for, you know, full native back compat for those lower two modes. You know, it runs it at those clock speeds. So when Mark Cerny says that they've tested 100 games on the PS5 to see if it, you know, breaks the code like he was just talking about at higher clock speeds, they've tested perfectly fine, so they expect basically every game to work at launch. That's what I feel he was talking about. I thought that was clear in what he said. However,
yeah, that's immediately what I saw when I saw like the native stuff and the boosted stuff.
Yeah. But everyone, including the PlayStation blog, seems to have taken it as we've proven that 100 PS4 games work.
The most playtime.
Yeah. So let's do worst case scenario, best case scenario. Best case scenario, it is the completely sane thing I think it is. PS5 comes out, some games break, so they only work in the PS4 native mode. Other games don't break, they work in the PS5 mode. All of the games get the advantage of the solid-state drive. Worst case scenario, 100 of the most popular games work, which is fine because Windjammers is one of them.
Wait,
no,
what?
Not fine. Not fine. Not fine. They told me that the PS4 couldn't play my previous shit, so the PS5 would play PS4 shit. Fuck you if they do that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This was a joke, but yes, no. They obviously, if it doesn't play PS4 games, a thing they have already confirmed in the past.
Yeah, I know that your take is right, but in the future, not only, somehow we have to eat crow like Itachi.
It's not only my take. They said it in May of last year.
Yeah, this isn't something I would eat crow on. It's like, oh, I listened to what they said.
They lied.
Yeah, but
to
now
me.
You're denying the thing they said now.
I'm denying the thing the denier. PlayStation blog wrote. You know who they hire at the PlayStation blog? Ex-game journalists.
Ugh. Or just burn it down. Lock the doors and burn it down.
But yeah, as I said when I watched it, that's what I thought he said. I thought that was clear. I made a video explaining that.
But then the blog says something totally different.
But then the blog updated later to say, oh yeah, 100 games have been confirmed to work at all. And
I wish they had somebody monitoring social media response to go, oh, we should probably address this.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the next time they do an actual public-facing thing, they're going to stress, it plays all your PS4 games. But who knows? We'll see when we get there.
Yeah, I still want to have hope for they show off they whenever they do the public one, it is more about that and gives us some like even maybe further back compat stuff, because he right. very briefly talked about this and then moved on.
I lost my fucking shit when that motherfucker had a slide on screen that said SPU like architecture, cell like performance, talking yes. about the custom audio unit. And I'm like, did you guys make a custom audio chip that is also an SPU emulator? Because I am going to lose it.
Yeah, no, that'd be insane.
When they... That part of the backwards compatibility where they showed PS1, 2, and 3, and they had them on the lower part of the chip, and then they showed what they had now, but that lower part had a gap missing.
Mm-hmm.
Every person I've seen watch this is shitting their pants waiting for them to fill in the fucking gap.
Yeah, no, it's cruel. Please, it's really cruel.
Please just announce these consoles. Don't wait till June.
August. But yeah, I'm very excited for them to talk about this more. I am super thrilled over the speed of the SSD. I still am certain that the back compat is 100%, but whether or not it runs at boosted PS5 modes is an entirely different thing. Just like the PS4 Pro, when it came out, it didn't automatically boost PS4 games. You had to select to do that.
I feel like they should just let it rock. They really should.
That's how I feel. That's what they did on the PS2. Do you want the disk speed to go faster? Great, except for when it breaks the game. Like, that's how I feel. It should be a toggleable option.
Yeah, but... just show me what Bloodborne can do. Will it explode?
Yeah, poo-pooed.
Digital Foundry is going to go and do another video where they talk to Mark Cerny sometime soon. They've already said they had the talk and recorded some content about that. I'm looking forward to that. I think people are really mistaken if they're sitting here thinking the Xbox Series X is a radically more powerful platform, because everything Sony said and everything these devs have said say that's not the whole story. In that,
are you sure? Because didn't we just go through that Xbox Series X is 77% more powerful?
Ah, you're right.
No, 90% more power for KZ.
Jesus. Ah, shit. Fucking over time, that shit just is like powering up.
It gets away from you, yeah. Jesus Christ. But yeah, this is all very exciting. Oh, one last thing. Very last thing, I promise.
Uh-huh.
They're doing an approach on this using an AMD tech and also a little bit of theirs, as I understand it, called AMD Smart Shift. So if you're not utilizing the full CPU, Arxis games, you can shift some of the power that you would send to the CPU over to the GPU to squeeze out more graphics performance. I cannot stress how important this is. What a great idea. Because guys, ain't no Japanese developer right now making a 16-thread game. Like, nobody's multi-threading their games that hardcore. That isn't happening. Most fighting games don't need all 8 cores to be firing on all cylinders. So I'm really glad that you can get some more GPU performance while the CPU is sitting there like, dude, I don't know. They're only using 2 of my cores. But that's enough of that.
We survived it. There's still more show.
Yeah, no, there's more. But that was the big.
Yeah. Sony's allegedly buying 3 Konami IPs. Jesus fucking Christ.
No, they're not.
I said allegedly. That's what allegedly is occurring.
I know. But I'm just saying, people who think Konami would have to be brain dead, and I'm going to say something here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You are?
I think most companies are dumb. They're not stupid. I don't think Konami's going to be like, "We're never going to make any money off any of these ever again. We'll just dump them." Not when they can just license them.
I do think Konami would sell all 3 as a bundle for an insane amount of money, and I think Sony's fucking crazy enough to do it.
It'd have to be so much money. It'd have to be more money than they expect to make from any of all of them combined forever.
I hate how this is almost close to they're gonna buy Sega.
It is really close to that.
It would have to be a Lucasfilm level payment.
It wouldn't have to be that, because Lucasfilm is more valuable than these 3 Konami IPs. That's insane.
Yeah.
But
Star Wars, Castlevania.
But
it'd have to be that level of crazy. It would scale down, but it would have to be ridiculous.
I mean, they would have to pay them hundreds of millions. I'm sure they would have to pay them $200 or $300 million easily.
And they might have to... There could be all sorts of other dealings with such and such toy rights and stuff like that. Who knows?
I don't think Konami's that savvy.
Probably not.
But I do think Konami would be interested in that, because the cost of developing games... Like, they would not make $300 million... off of those 3 IPs over the next 10 years in profits. This is straight profit. I think if Sony offered them a package deal for an insane amount of money, Konami would be interested, and Sony might be interested from the perspective of, because we haven't talked about the IPs, let's talk about them. There are multiple incredibly solid different sources in the industry all pointing at Sony is making a Silent Hill game, basically the PT thing. They're recasting. It's not Norman Reedus this time. And then a different Silent Hill thing is being made, which is an anthology game. KZ has been vindicated.
Wonderful. I always win.
The allegedly part comes in from another leak, a supposed source. We haven't had it corroborated by anybody else, but that Sony is interested in buying Castlevania and buying Metal Gear. Now, Silent Hill and Metal Gear, and to a lesser extent Castlevania, are a huge part of the PlayStation identity when you think long term, like back to the PS1. I could see Sony writing that insane check because this is how they win.
This is how we win.
I think Sony made that kind of money this gen. They outsold their competitor almost 3-1.
They made an insane amount of money.
And I think Sony's style of game plays well to all three of these IPs. Like, I think, you know, the rumor saying that Sony's buying this IP is that they're trying to make something more grounded and real, like a sort of Lords of Shadow, visually, like artistically or tonally. You know, Metal Gear obviously is very Sony. Like, that's integral to the PlayStation brand to some extent. I think all three of these IPs play well to the way Sony makes games. And I think Sony could also be like, hey, now we will own these IPs, we can make movies. Which is a thing they're more and more interested in.
PlayStation Pictures.
Exactly.
I'm just thinking of this from Konami's perspective, though. And, like, now they can't make any more Silent Hill pachinko games, which they just released one in the past 6 months. They can't make any more mobile games of those titles. And they make mobile games, and their mobile games make money. They can't do, and I feel like it would have to be more than 300 million even. Because Konami's biggest division now is, we make slot machines and pachinko machines and bullshit like that, and it's all covered in our franchise's branding.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fair. I'm interested to see if this pans out.
Yeah, it'd be really exciting.
And Konami could go, how about we license the video game rights to you, and we put blindfolds on and put plugs in our ears, and you just send us money every so often?
I feel like after sexual violence, I feel like Sony may not want to be working on a franchise that could have a pachinko machine that says that, but who knows? Either way, it's just a rumor, so we should move on. KZ, the Nintendo Indie World Showcase sure did happen.
It did happen. I mentally checked out at about game number 2.
Say any game from it other than Gungeon.
Oh, shit. Fucking Sean Murray came out there.
We had a game. Kindle?
No.
No?
Whatever it was.
There was a game, I believe it was called I Am Dead.
Wait, I think it was like Vacation from Mara was, I think, a game. It was like, I think it was like a girl going on a fucking adventure. I remember that.
There were,
like, Switch exclusive.
Nothing short of a litany of fucking, not to be mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but very explore this artistic world walking simulator-esque games where you're going around, you're meeting the denizens, you're checking out the beautiful environments. There were so many of those, this one direct.
And it's like, you're on the Switch, you're getting early, only on Switch, early access to it. It's like, this is not the place I want to play something like that.
Experience this world at a low frame rate.
Yeah.
Oh, it was called The Last Campfire.
Yeah, there was multiple games where it's like, run around in our green ocean world.
Yeah, there were a lot of festive islands with kooky denizens.
I love kooky, like, denizens.
And I'm like, you're aware that Animal Crossing is coming out in like 2 days, right? I feel like the kooky island denizens niche has been filled forever.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty good for now.
Like, that's a mountain now. It was a hole 2 days ago. Now it's a mountain. There's no room.
The one thing I care about is Pixel Junk Eden 2 is coming to the Switch, which is great. I'm glad. Pixel Junk Eden's a really fun game.
I was like, oh, I'm so excited for my least favorite Pixel Junk game.
Bob, are you going to put Pixel Junk Racers above Eden?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never played a Pixel Junk game.
Oh, they're really good.
Except for Eden, yeah.
Pixel Junk Monsters is really good. Bob, you're a bad man. Pixel
I just
Junk-
never, like, they never just, like, pop... I never even paid... I knew they existed, but I never even really looked like one until Dan's like, oh, they're great.
Yeah,
well,
no.
I guess I'll play one at some point.
They're really good. I would recommend Pixel Junk Shooter Deluxe, which is a game on the PS4.
Yeah, that is really good.
It is super good. And Pixel Junk Monsters 2, which is a game that came out this gen and has beautiful 3D graphics and is an incredible tower defense game. Super good. Check it out sometime. KZ, you're here to tell me the sky is falling.
Arc System Works puts out this press release, right? Because closed beta signups have begun for Guilty Gear Strive. It's real exciting. You can sign up and they'll let you know in April for that. And then they said, oh, by the way, while this, of course, will be using delay-based netcode for our beta, the final version of Guilty Gear Strive is getting rollback.
I wonder if current events influenced this.
The beta is using delay, but they're doing rollback. They took the feedback that people pounded them because a lot of fighting game people said, take this survey and ask for rollback. Just ask
yes,
for rollback as nicely as you can.
I saw every single person I know who talks about fighting game being like, make it inescapable.
Yeah, no, they had enough yelling at them finally.
Okay, now that you learned, backpatch it into all your games next gen. Because I know you're going to do next-gen iterations of all of them.
I don't know if they'll be able to backpatch necessarily, but I do hope that every one of their games going forward just uses it.
Yeah, you have to design your game around rollback.
Yeah. It's very, very difficult to, like, go back in and shove in a new netcode. You have to kind of, like, build upon it. Because I've listened to a lot of interviews from the Killer Instinct 2013 guys talking about it. And they said it's very difficult.
It's still frustrating to see, like, them fully, like, having DLC planned for these two games still coming out for the next year plus.
Yeah.
So right. It's yeah. Like, whatever you need to do. If you need to fully rework your game, you should probably do it.
Make, it, make it a new iteration. Do not sell it on the next-gen consoles. Do not make it DLC available to the next one. I will buy it. Call it Super Dragon Ball Fighters.
Give me Grand Blue versus SSR. Do whatever you need to do.
That'd be funny. I now highly endorse them calling it that. But this is... I had been pulling my hair out for a fucking year because all these fighting game devs were like, we want people to keep playing our game. We want casual players to keep playing. And I'm like, but you won't do the one thing that matters the most. Making your game feel good online.
I follow a lot of people that like to stream and play fighting games, and they go, yeah, this game is cool, but the online's so bad that I get genuinely sad and I can't play it.
Everybody who eats food at our restaurant gets sick, so we're thinking of changing the curtains.
Yo, Arc System Works has the best looking curtains of all time, okay? Yeah, I did not expect them to finally just do it.
SNK, you're the only holdout. I understand that there might not be any people at your company that speak English.
It's probably true.
I understand that you're like three guys in a closet.
I think they might have seen those Garo numbers that popped on Steam
King of Fighters 15 to have rollback netcode. I need that.
We need... talk to Bamco, get them working on it. This could be like the start, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have a big dev, and then it slowly dominoes so that becomes the standard.
I feel like SNK is the last holdout now.
I mean, K
Capcom. Does Tekken use rollback or does Tekken use delay?
No. Yeah, Bamco's another one where they need proper.
Well, no, like, Capcom uses rollback. They just made bad rollback.
It's true.
Like, they fucked it up. They still learned.
Yeah, what happened is they instituted rollback, but they did it as cheaply as possible.
Yeah, as far as I know, Tekken doesn't have rollback, so...
And apparently Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite has better netcode, something none of us will ever bother to actually check.
I've seen plenty of people that actually play all the fighting games saying that it does have better netcode. They also say, I don't want to play it, though. It's like a monkey's paw.
So what you're saying is no one will play Guilty Gear Strive.
Oh, no. I mean, hopefully it's a great game. I really want that to be good. Maybe this new beta will fix all the things people are upset about.
As someone who likes Blaze Blue a lot more than Guilty Gear, what's that? You change Guilty Gear? Maybe I'll like it more.
Okay.
Hey, think about it this way. If they're starting with this here, eventually when you finally get a new Blaze Blue, get it, it'll have rollback in it.
That's true.
Rollback, and I might be playing it on a PS5, so it'll load hella fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
Grand Blue really needs that.
God, yes.
Maybe they'll buff Tager.
No.
No, they won't.
Never.
No, it's
he won't even be in it.
New Blaze Blue only characters are Tager in Kokonoe. That's it.
He won't even be in the game.
Oh, don't say that. I don't want that. Nobody wants that.
He sits in the back. He's on all fours right next to a hype dog.
our the main grappler of Blaze Blue is now Bullet.
Ow. We got to move on from talking about this Japanese game tech and talk about other Japanese game tech. Phil, you ended up with this story.
But equally exciting news that's going to really pan out for the developer.
Oh my God.
You should have, but now it's here to stab us. Platinum is making their own game engine.
But it's okay, guys. They checked out Unreal and Unity, and they didn't have a couple features they were really excited for, so they had to make
those
their own engine.
Those features were 100% of the money.
See, here's the thing. If they said that, KZ, I'd be like, they're right.
Yeah, if they just owned up to it instead of being like, nah, these three guys are going to make something better than Unreal Engine. I'm sorry, six guys.
You know, it's really going to be embarrassing if their first game on this comes out and... Can't Lock 60
takes
place in the empty performance dimension.
I'm gonna cry it, if this thing
has fucked up, has just a void of a world, has no characters. Just there's so many things that this is gonna be, it's gonna be embarrassing for them. I cannot see a future where this comes out and we're all like, man, we were wrong. They blew our assholes out.
I would like,
I would like to be wrong. I would like to be wrong because I feel like they've seen the problems that they've had with their current stuff. However, we have a situation where it's possible that Tencent gave them a bunch of money and their answers were make a studio that's going to probably make licensed games that might not be good and make a bad engine.
I hope.
And I feel like they're just burning money right before our eyes.
I've never wanted to be more wrong, but...
But Kamiya's game sounds really cool, though.
I can't imagine this engine.
Is Project GG using this new engine?
They haven't said.
I don't think it...
Probably. Yeah.
They haven't said. It might. Okay.
They said it's really early, like the way they described it, so I wouldn't be shocked if it's a Square Enix-esque thing of, all right, put this game on this half-built thing. Let's go.
There's no way this is as bad as their last engine.
Didn't have a level editor. You had to use Excel.
They mentioned what features they wanted to get in there, and I can't even remember them. I think it had something to do with more
money?
easily to get in, or it's easier to get in animations or something like that, like machine learned animations somehow.
What?
Yeah.
It sounded like
with this weird in between to make. Make easy animations they can use as filler until they get real animations in there. And it was like, that doesn't sound that important, guys. That sounds like it's something to let you test stuff quickly, but not something that's for a final game, even. It was weird. I should have reread this right before we did Big Think. I forgot that it came out like a day after we recorded the last big thing.
It came out like 3 hours after we finished recording. It was bad.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole thing, you can read the whole article. I suggest you do that. And then if you're still somehow hyped for it, good for you.
I don't want to feel bad. I want to put a lot of games that are like 60 FPS and are rad.
Yeah, it'd be great if they just didn't worry about this and adopted one of these engines and modified it like most reasonable people seem to be doing these days. Like, a lot of people use their own branch, basically, of Unreal, that they put things they want for their development's sake in it. Like,
yeah,
the way
if their previous engine was good, I'd be more optimistic.
Right. But
there's no telling whether or not they've learned from the other stuff to the degree that they have really competent people making
it. Sounded like some of the lead guys were the same lead guys they've had there for the last 8 years.
And
so that's not promising. Not promising.
Right.
I just want a platinum game to come out and be like, wow, this is sure a game I'm playing on the PS5, and the entire world is perfectly clear and free of debris because otherwise it can't run at 60. Oh, wow, look at the skybox that is almost everything because this game can't run at 60 otherwise. Oh, look at me trapped in the performance void because otherwise this game can't run at 60.
Stop talking about the performance void.
Featured in Babylon's Fall.
All right, let's feel what else you got.
Yeah, please.
If you intend, I hope you're not intending to buy any game physically for the next couple months. That's not going to go well for you. Specifically, Amazon has said they're just going to not be shipping non-essential items during the current events. That includes video games.
Yeah, a lot of people ended up getting emails a couple of days ago that said release date changed on Final Fantasy VII Remake and they shit their pants.
Yeah, new delivery date, we don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Square Enix put out a press release saying, it is extremely likely there will be shortages of Final Fantasy VII physical editions available at retailers. Deal with that.
Yeah, they said that given events that they were, you know, closely monitoring it and decided to continue to launch it on that date, but buy digital.
Just, you're going to have to buy it digital. It's going to be 180 all 100 gigs or whatever gigs. The fuck. It's like 180.
Oof.
What?
Now,
wait.
I don't believe this.
I might have made that up.
Yeah, I was
I think
this
install is only 75.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It's okay. I heard this disc they're shipping you runs on the PS5.
Maybe I was thinking of Red Dead Redemption 2, and it's like they're both on two discs. Obviously, they must be the same size.
Yeah, but don't those Blu-rays only hold 50 each?
Yes.
Can't they be dual layered?
50 is dual layered. The PS5,
well, okay.
The PS5.
If only Dan wasn't here, we could just vomit from the mouth.
The PS5 uses quad layer, which is 100 gigs. The PS4 can't do that. I'm reading this Platinum Games engine thing, and
oh no,
I'm not seeing anything compelling in here, so I'm not going to talk about it. But I am going to say, hey guys, here's a potential upside. Okay,
time to be optimistic.
Okay.
I bet if you install Final Fantasy VII Remake on your PS5, it compresses it more.
Nice.
Look forward to that November.
I was hoping for some optimism on the Platinum Game Engine.
No, there's no optimism there, Bob.
Okay.
I'm hopeful, but I'm not seeing anything to be optimistic about. All I'm saying is PS5 is going to compress it with the Kraken compression method, so it'll make it smaller. That'll be nice.
Kraken.
Raw.
Yeah. Yeah,
did you know that GameStop sells ventilators and medicine?
I did not. Do they? Is that a thing?
Wow. I'm assuming.
Question: can I trade in my used ventilators and medicine?
Yes, you get half a cent. But I mean, I'm assuming you do because they're claiming they're an essential retailer that should be able to stay open during a crisis. And if police come and try to shut down the store like you're not allowed to be open, they are telling managers to refuse and give them a note saying call corporate.
That's insane. That's completely insane.
This is embarrassing.
As a hashtag gamer, I have to agree, video games are an essential item to my everyday life.
Essential.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't order online.
Nope.
You couldn't do digital.
KZ, nope. When was the last time you bought a physical game?
Oh, shit. Pokemon. I went and got a physical copy of that because of people saying digital had problems. But past that, I think the last one was Doom 2016 at launch. At launch.
But this is insane. GameStop is run by lunatics. The current happenings are making certain people just decloak as cartoon characters.
I would lose my mind if next week it goes, Reggie Fils-Aimé is dropping from the board.
I would not be surprised if that happens.
I feel like he's either going to backpedal real quickly or that's going to happen.
It's like, what do you fucking mean you're telling your manager to fight the police? Like, if the police come in, reach under the counter for the GameStop power-up rewards shotgun.
Here's how this works, okay? They're in the GameStop. The employees are in there. They're like, come to the back room. We have a meeting. We need to stop the fucking cops. They open up the box. The ancient weapon. Used PSPs.
Don't worry, men. We got this.
It's like fucking 300. It's like a squad of archers, but it's people with PSPs. You just hear a bunch of and the sky is blotted out by UMDs. Finally, Sabotage Studio. They made the Messenger, the quirky platformer that is both 8-bit and 16-bit. Mm-hmm. They're making Sea of Stars, a turn-based RPG prequel to The Messenger that seems to have a completely different tone, and they said you don't have to play The Messenger to play it.
Weird.
I'm a little bit curious when it occurs, because I think prequel might not be exactly right.
Oh, it's a Kickstarter.
It's a Kickstarter? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's already
that seems weird. That seems weird because I thought that game did really well. Although I guess that doesn't forbid you from doing a Kickstarter. Yeah, it already hit its goal.
This looks like it's not going to be published by those other guys, so I assume they did this so they could self-publish. That makes sense.
Looking at this. This game looks gorgeous.
Yeah, like, it looks
so
pretty. The
Kickstarter looks really, really nice in like the use of lighting and everything.
Oh man, yeah, this does look nice. It kind of reminds me of Terranigma.
A little bit.
Yeah.
The plot mentioned, the summary mentions the Fleshmancer, so I'm actually wondering if this takes place between the Messenger and the level in the Messenger that is in the future.
Huh.
Which you'll know what I'm talking about if you beat the Messenger.
You know I did, but I can't remember.
The one where you're in the Cthulhu zone.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, this looks really interesting.
When I see Fleshmancer sequel prequel to The Messenger, I think of, oh, you mean that dimension that's all meat?
Mm. Hey, Bob.
What's up?
You said they were looking into machine learning for animation.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Bob, it's even weirder.
Okay.
They're looking into using machine learning to decipher 3D animations from 2D videos.
What? Oh, no. That's going to look bad, isn't
it? They're talking about feeding a 2D video of a person moving. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine they're just doing motion capture.
Yeah.
But they don't have a rig.
Right. Because the whole idea behind their engine is making something cheap.
Oh, my God.
So, like, they're talking about, instead of doing mocap where a dude has sensors on him and there's a proper setup for this, they're talking about just filming a dude doing a cool kickflip and then using machine learning to turn that into 3D animation.
Yeah, I remember reading in the press.
But this is for placeholder animations, right? They're saying that they can do this for placeholder animations.
Please say psych, bro.
Hopefully.
They're not saying they're doing this for placeholder animations.
Of course, doing motion capture the old-fashioned way with the studio and full marker setup would yield higher quality animation, but it also takes more money and time. Markerless mocap with machine learning could be useful for creating placeholder animations for game prototypes.
Oh, thank God. Oh. They're lying and they're going to use them in the final games.
They may have just seen the interviewer's face and then made that up. I'm just kidding. I assume.
The interviewer made a sound like Bob, and they're like, uh-oh, better change the trajectory of this statement.
Yep.
It's like your key feature is something that doesn't hit your final game. That sounds bad. That sounds really bad to be the one thing you have to talk about.
The weird thing is that guy is doing the most innovative work on this engine. He's apparently just doing loose R&D, though, and they're going to integrate his findings into the engine later. So I read this entire thing trying to find something compelling. I couldn't find anything, so I hope they're on top of it. I hope they
do
a good
job. Why can't you just use Unreal?
Money.
Yeah, this RPG, this Sea of Stars thing looks cool.
Yes.
I was reading more on the Kickstarter.
I'm excited.
It really is. It's like a Chrono Trigger-esque thing where the field and battle are the same. And they even have like they put like the square targeting on like whatever you're going for. There's combo attacks, timed hits with inputs like Mario RPG.
Yeah, this all sounds good.
Yeah. This sounds really interesting. Like I might try and back this because it looks really, really nice.
It sounds like what it looks like is, you know, that game that came out was like, we're doing a Chrono Trigger. I think it was called like Cosmic Heroine or something. It was like, imagine if that game looked good.
Just say I am Setsuna.
that game.
Cosmic Star Heroine.
Yeah, I think that's
Oh,
right.
Cosmic Star Heroine. Yeah, that's a Zoboid Games thing. So I'm not really surprised that didn't look that great. Oh, wow. This looks bad.
I've seen footage of that.
So I love that this falls into the classic trap of I love Super NES RPGs. They look like this, and then Dan's brain goblin, because this is a thing he knows about, goes, actually, on a real CRT, the sprites are wider. Your art style's emulating an emulator look. Good job.
Oh no.
It's fine.
Whatever, I like the taller style.
It's fine. We're losing an aesthetic to time. We've invented a new aesthetic because of the shortcomings of technology. It's fine. It's fine.
The main thing I know about the devs of this is this is who Penny Arcade scooped up to make the finale to the last two games of their RPG series.
Oh, you mean on the rainsick precipice of, oh shit, Otter's Pod.
Darkness? Yeah, when the makers of the first two games went out, we're gonna go make Deathspank. Bye. And then Pinarchy was like, fuck. I guess we'll have people make RPG Maker games to finish it.
I wish I enjoyed either of the Otter's Pod games. I played the demo, didn't enjoy them.
I liked the first two. Thought they were neat. I don't even think you can buy them anymore. I think the developer was like, nah, take it down.
That's funny.
Although maybe they were never on PC. Maybe they were only on console. Interesting.
I only know of them on console, but they may have been on PC.
Yeah, it looks like they had PC versions, so I guess they must have just gotten taken down.
Why was there a part four? There was a part four?
Yeah, there was a part three and a part four. The last two were made by Zoboid.
Jesus Christ. All right. All right. Anyways, that's all the news. We're done talking about stuff. Hey, KZ, what do you have going on in the next week?
Coming up, stream, still streaming. Same content is coming out. So listen to last week and see what I said there. Maybe I'll stream Doom Eternal or something. That might have already happened.
Hey, Dan, what is coming out? I have no idea. I just feel human again. I'm just glad to feel human again. Please leave me alone. Maybe it's giving it games a chance I teased almost a month ago. Who knows? Hey, Phil, what do you have coming out in the next week?
I'll continue streaming Super Danganronpa 2. I will continue to produce a tier list of the cast after each chapter to upset people.
Nothing you two, you do can upset me as much as good nom nom nomming.
Good gacting.
Okay. Something KZ can do can upset me that much, but...
Fuck you, KZ.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Fuck you!
No, fuck you! Thank you for listening to this episode of the Big Think Dimension. If you'd like to support the GB Podcast Network, head on over to patreon.com/GB Podcast so that way you can get exclusive behind the scenes on stuff, other content. There's a lot of content. It's basically non-ending avalanche of content. So head on over there, become a $5 backer or a Podlord today.